My name is Naihu. I'm mad at the internet, and this is Clash.
I like that intro.
I bet much like Tiz, you're wondering why am I mad at the internet. Who's not mad at the internet, by the way?
I'm annoyed at the internet most often.
But before we get to that, you can share why you might be mad at the internet at siblingrivalryclash@gmail.com. I'm getting right into it. Tiz can introduce himself later.
I mean, y'all should know who I am at this point.
You can email us at siblingrivalryclash@gmail.com, or you can tweet at us if you prefer a shorter method, at srclash_pod. But as I said, I'm Knighthood. That's Tiz. Wherever he is
on the screen. Mystery direction.
And usually he's above me, I think. And
what?
I'm mad.
Why would I be above
because
you?
Because I don't know, man. Stop.
Why would I be above you?
Wait.
I've never been above you.
No, in the shorts. In the shorts, you are above
me.
Oh,
yeah, in the shorts. Yeah.
But, yeah, so I'm mad because every time I sign on to the internet or look at my Google News, my Goose, I'm going to call it Goose now. It's Goose, G-N, the N silent, G-N.
Goon?
Oh. No. You don't know how to spell or read.
Yo, you said G-N-E. Okay.
No, I said G.
I heard G-O-O-N somehow.
What?
My brain fills stuff in sometimes.
So yeah, my Goose, G-N-E-W-S. Yeah. My Google News. They keep saying that this is the worst season of Mandalorian. And I'm a little upset about that because as I think I've yelled at you prior, this is the season about the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
Feel like I waited 3 seasons to get here. Now I'm excited and people are like poo-pooing on it.
It's for the clicks, man. I feel like it's literally just for the clicks.
But what are we? Like, are we all just like, are the masses just a bunch of people gulping up like weird mainstream commercials? Like, because that's what TV would be if people would, like, if, you know, the advertisers would allow it.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. No, I honestly think that's kind of what it is, to be honest. And most of the people aren't reading any of these articles either. They're just looking at the headline.
Because I'm like, I'm finally seeing bits of Star Wars I don't recognize. I'm seeing, like, an interesting story coming through, you know, like characters it's not the same characters I've seen over and over again, except for like the Mon Calamari and stuff like that.
Who?
The Mon Calamari are the squid people.
Oh, yeah, they're people. Why are they all over the place in the show? Just because they're goofy looking?
I guess they're good at ships. I don't know.
Oh.
I guess they're good
with their weird trumpet fingers?
Space pilotry.
I don't even know how they grab
anything.
They're
always commanding ships.
Yeah. It's weird.
But anyway, I just like the way that it's evolved, and so I'm just frustrated that I keep seeing. I'm like, let it go, guys. Like, find another show to, like, poo-poo on, I guess.
I think the problem is really critics. Like, honestly, sometimes I just hate critics. Because it's like, one, you probably review so much stuff that you can't really focus on this one thing anyway. So you're not really the person that's best equipped to criticize this in the first place because you're like, time is spread all out and you're writing all these articles and whatnot. And two, I feel like a lot of the times the incentive behind why they're writing the article is not going to lead to anything good. You know what I mean? Like, they're incentivized by clicks, so they'd make a crazy headline that's going to make people click on it to trigger. It's meant to trigger fans of the show so that they click the article so they can figure out what the disagreement is or whatever. And it's just, I don't know. It's weird sometimes.
Because I'm just wondering, like, some people do read articles or the number of articles they see about something might draw their interest.
Yeah.
So that's why I'm like, okay. Like, Star Wars doesn't... Star Wars plus Disney doesn't get enough press as it is.
Yeah.
I don't understand it.
And I don't know the exact statistics, but I would probably guess this is, if not the highest selling Mando season, really close. Or highest streamed Mando season. It's probably really close.
I have no idea.
I feel like it probably is.
Grogu's actually doing stuff now.
Yeah, he's flipping. They're throwing that prop doll around all over the screen. Just tossing.
He's got like one flip down, and it's great. It's a great like cartwheel flip.
They gotta like green screen out whoever throws him.
I'm done. Because if it did look like that, I would die. If it looked like they were just throwing like a stuffed dummy across the room,
to me,
I would
that's
die.
Star Wars, though. To me, that's a lot of the.
That's not what it looks like, though.
Really? What's it look like to you?
To me, it looks like a puppet. Like they're flipping a puppet, like a marionette or something.
Not like they're throwing a puppet.
Or CGI. Or it's just CGI. No, because he does a flip in the air. He always does like a yeah. little. He does like a little
they
flip.
They practice the.
You can't.
You know the release.
You can't time that with like a doll.
You just got that little weighted head, the little hard
yeah,
plastic
like, that
weighted
doll
head.
Would, like, it would tilt and then it would just clunk. I just held one of those things the other day. They're so top heavy.
Yeah, they are.
You have to weight it in the bottom. Are.
But no, I really do think Star Wars like prides itself on like its use of practical effects over.
But I don't
CG.
Think they do that so much anymore.
The practical effects. The dudes you were just talking about are all practical. Those aren't CG. The sausage face people.
Oh yeah, the Mon Calamari. But the like, I don't know about that seaweed face pirate. Dude.
Probably not him. Yeah, probably not.
And
him.
And then like, when like droids are walking around, those obviously
the
are
droids.
Practical.
Yeah, the droids are CG. But yeah, it's like it'll be like some of the aliens and like, they still use those PowerPoint transitions. I feel like that's super intentional, yeah. Like the cheap PowerPoint.
Yeah, that's how you know which sci-fi show you're watching.
Exactly. But yeah.
But yeah, I'm gonna get off. I'll get off that real quick and go to something else that made me angry. 65.
Oh, no. Have I heard
this part
before?
I'm going right into my week. This is part of my week. So, I watched Adam Driver's new movie, 65, where he tries to be a much less friendlier. Owen from Jurassic Park.
Oh.
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh, this like is the 65 million dinosaur movie, right? Got you. I'm remembering now.
Yeah. So the angle they went with this is that it does occur 65 million years ago.
Okay.
But the people that we're seeing are not from Earth. They are from some distant planet.
Oh.
And if you want... There's a anomaly in the sky area that they're flying through. I guess that's near Earth.
Yeah.
That causes there's like asteroid debris.
Mm-hmm.
Wink, wink, wink. There's asteroid debris. Heavy wink.
So did somebody blow up the asteroid?
No.
Oh.
I'm saying, remember how they said like there's a huge
asteroid that killed
a lot
dinosaurs?
Of people. Exactly.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Pieces of that asteroid, like, I guess, caused this ship to crash. And then Adam Driver is, like, the sole survivor of... it's him and, like, this girl from another part of his planet that doesn't speak the same language as him.
Mm-hmm.
So he says she's from, like, the upper... It makes it sound like there's a hierarchy.
Yeah. Of course.
So she's from some higher up place that like doesn't speak the language he speaks. He speaks
the peasant commoner language.
Yeah, we can understand him. We can't understand her, and he doesn't have a translator. So it's a lot of like drawing and grunting, and Adam Driver just getting frustrated with a little girl who doesn't understand him.
Oh, so is she a child?
She's like
teenager.
Yeah, like a 10 year old, 11 okay. year old, maybe 13.
Gotcha.
She could be like 13. She's just really little. But yeah, so part of this movie made me feel like Jurassic Park has like some kind of copyright on dinosaur designs because there were some very different looking dinosaurs in this movie.
Yeah.
But the other part of me.
Dinosaur designs? I wonder if that's really possible.
The other part of me is also wondering if they didn't have as much money as they should have had for the movie.
I probably.
Which is the route I'm...
Probably not.
I'm treading on. But yeah, it just... I give it credit for what it was trying to do. Like, thank you for trying to make a dinosaur movie that's not Jurassic Park. And mm-hmm. that might be somewhat interesting. But it just... It's so flat. It's just not... It doesn't make you care about the characters. It doesn't
make you think.
No, it's not, like, interesting in any way. There's no, like, I was expecting there to be at least some kind of, like, at some part, some kind of beast that might be, like, tracking him in some sort of way while they're trying to escape. But it's, like, no. It's, like...
It's your standard T-Rex.
He really could have been, like, lost in a jungle in modern day with, like, tigers and stuff. And it wouldn't have felt much different. You know what I mean?
Okay, dang.
And that's why I was like, they're lacking the, like, primordial fear of, like, this is a place that seems familiar but is completely, like, wild and terrifying.
Do you think the trailer sold the mystery too hard? Because that was my thing when I watched the trailer. I was like, it looks like there's some type of mystery here that might be interesting. You think, like, the trailer upsold that too much?
Or... No, because I went in thinking there was going to be more action than mystery.
Oh, okay.
I also thought these were going to be, there was going to be some time travel aspects, but.
Yeah, I remember we thought that too, yeah.
There really isn't, so.
Oh, dang.
Maybe just too high hopes going in, I don't know. But, like, yeah, I'm like, even if I didn't, because I really didn't put a whole lot of expectations on them.
Yeah.
I was just like, please just be interesting enough to, like, keep my attention in that.
So I don't fall asleep.
Yeah, that's the hard part.
Yeah. No crazy twist?
Maybe there is. I kind of left the end because I saw, like, I got to a part where I was like, all right, I feel like it. Once they identified said asteroid, I was like, I see where this is going. It's like a race to get off the planet.
Yeah.
But the best part, I would say, the best part of this movie that's sticking with me is there's a scene where Adam Driver climbs up to, he's got like a Halo style, like, rifle, right?
Okay.
It's like a battery powered, like, rifle, and it's like, pew, makes that kind of, like, makes that sound and everything. And he climbs up a tree to get, like, he has to get, like, a signal with this device that he has. So he's climbing up this tree, and the branches are kind of, like, dry and so,
brittle.
You know, there's, yeah, they're like, showing, they're giving you hints that maybe this tree isn't the best tree to climb.
Yeah.
And the little girl is, like, down at the base of the tree, and of course, like, monsters are creeping up, right? And then I forget what happens, but something causes the tree branch to break, and he falls, like, the entirety of the tree and hits, like, every branch on the way down. And so when he hits the bottom, he, like, hits his shoulder, and, like, you can tell because it's just immediately, like, ragdoll.
Oh.
So you can tell it's, like, dislodged.
Jesus Christ.
And as soon as that happens, that's when all of the, like, the giant Komodo dragon dinosaurs pop out of the brush. Because I'm like, why aren't these velociraptors? I'm like, why are these Komodo dragons?
Yeah.
But anyway, they jump out, like, five or six of them jump out, and he can't hold the gun because his arm is all ragdolled, right? And so I'm thinking, like, oh, he's going to, like, yell at the little girl to, like, shoot the gun. No. He yells at her to grab the gun, and then she's, like, he's, like, laying on the ground. She's stepping on his forearm to try and, like, pull his arm back in.
Oh my god.
So there's this one part where, like, the dinosaur is literally lunging at them, and she, like, stomps on his arm, he slams his shoulder into the tree, and then just, like, shoots the dinosaur all at the same time. And I'm like, that's probably the best part of the
movie. This is the best scene. That sounds
painful. Like, his arm is just dead limp, and it's like, I'm like, just use your other arm. Like, what are we doing?
I feel like this whole thing that they're always doing in, like, anime is, like, so unrealistic to just, I feel like it requires so much more force than just.
Well, that's what I'm saying.
You know what I mean?
Like, is it really as simple as just slamming your shoulder into something?
I don't think so. Like, I imagine the nerves are still connected, but I don't understand why, like, when it's dislocated, you can't move it versus when it's in, you can.
I don't either.
But, like, you can feel it the whole time.
It has to have something to do with how your muscles line up.
It's my worst nightmare, is that whole anything popping out of the socket and just having to be forced back in.
No.
I don't like it at all.
Nope.
You ever met one of them people with loose sockets where it's, like, frequently pops out and they're like, oh, I'm used to this. You never met nobody like that?
No.
I've known people like that.
The worst thing I've met like that is, like, double jointed people.
Okay, I mean, that's on the borderline of the same thing.
Kind of loose, jointed people you hanging out with. Kind of spooky, scary skeletons you hanging out with.
It'll always be like they got some bad injury when they were a kid, and I guess the initial forcing of it out kind of damaged the the socket, so now it's just like unstable and loose. So now it pops out easier than it used to.
No.
It's gross.
It's awful.
It's gross.
But yeah, so I feel bad if people spent money to go see that movie in the theater.
It's rough.
It should definitely be on like Tubi in a month. But all I'll say after that is I'm still playing Resident Evil. This game never ends. I don't know if I'm just moving slow. I don't feel like I'm moving slow. Those games, I feel like, intentionally make you, like, creep and scrape for stuff.
Yeah,
so,
of course.
I don't know.
And they added a crouch button.
which I'm also, like, I had to immediately take off of the R3.
Oh, for real?
Assigned to circle, because it was, like, I kept hitting it.
By accident. Yeah, that's funny.
But, yeah, so whenever that game ends, I'll try to give a full review. But Mercenaries is out. Okay. I haven't played it yet, but
oh, so it was like DLC, like free DLC or something.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't realize.
I'm assuming it's like the Mercenaries for 8.
Yeah, probably. And what other? I think 5 had Mercenaries. Mm-hmm. 6 probably did. I don't remember though.
I don't remember either.
It was one point where they just started putting them in, like as a staple.
Yeah.
I don't remember when.
But that's pretty much it for my week. What about you?
Word. So I actually picked up the new Destiny expansion, Lightfall, and
your addiction.
Yeah, my addiction for sure. I actually held off
your packet of coke. No, I'm just kidding.
I spent way too much money on Destiny. It doesn't make sense. Oh, no. I don't even like thinking about it. Not even on microtransactions. Literally just on expansions, because they're almost like a new full game every time. But I put this one off a little bit because I was hearing not so great things about it. Like a lot of people really didn't like the campaign. And there was this kind of rumor that came out, which I 100% believe that, because they've done this before in the past, that this expansion wasn't supposed to happen. It was all supposed to be grouped together with a bunch more content with a later expansion that we already know about called Final Shape. And they needed more time for that. It wasn't ready. So they kind of like carved out a section of it that was ready and kind of put it out as this. And I can kind of see why people think that, and they've done that, like I said, before in the past, so I wouldn't be too surprised if they did it again. But overall, I'm pretty happy with it. The campaign story-wise isn't too crazy. It's kind of just like you arrive to a new location. It's like a hidden location. There's all this, it's like a secret society. There's all this lore behind it. And basically, the weird thing is that you're kind of just chasing like a MacGuffin the whole time, and you have no idea why or what it is. It's this thing called the Veil, and one of the characters is just like, I need the Veil, and so he sends his minions, his evil minions, after it. Then your side is like, oh, we got to get the Veil before them, but they never say what it is or why you need it or what it plays into for the next expansion or what importance it has. They're just like, get this thing, it's important. You got to get it before the evil guy gets it. Okay. But I'm kind of used to this type of weird storytelling with Destiny. It's not always the best in-game storytelling, even though the cutscenes are usually pretty good and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, all right, whatever. I'm along for the ride. It doesn't matter. I'm here for the shooting and stuff anyway, for the most part. And I think campaign-wise, like gameplay-wise, they did something where they added like a new difficulty mode where it's like, I felt like it was really like the perfect amount of challenge versus like frustration versus like it just felt balanced, I guess is what I'm trying to say. It felt like things were hard but never insurmountable. Like if you didn't have to do anything super cheesy other than the last boss. Like you know some games when you crank up the difficulty you gotta like hide in a corner and you're just like in the back corner of the map, just like cheesing enemy. Like you don't have to do that in this, which I think is good. I think that's always like a bad sign. Like, I don't think difficulty should ever be scaled to the sense where you got to cheese the game. Like you should still be able to play the game, but just, you know, play smarter and hit more shots and stuff like that. And I feel like this difficulty was balanced really well. So I enjoyed it from that aspect. And then probably the biggest addition to the game and the coolest addition is the new subclass that they added. It's called Strand. It's like the second out of, I guess, what's going to be 3 darkness subclasses. And I sent you a little clip. It's so fun. So they basically added a grapple hook ability.
I was wondering. I saw that and I was like, what am I looking at
here? No, it's and it looks like it reminds me of Black Whip from My Hero because it's got like a dark green hue to it. But you can basically, it replaces your grenade and you basically can just grapple to any point anywhere in the air. Like it doesn't matter where. And you grapple and you just, I always say Bungie is like one of the best at like momentum and just kinetic feel, and they do like inertia really well and all that type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So like when you grapple, like the momentum and the feeling and the swinging and stuff just feels really good. Like it feels like the weight is there. It feels like the weight of your character really matters. And like when you let go, if you got speed, you'll keep going in that direction and then the speed will taper off and all that stuff is done really well. You literally just feel like Spider-Man kind of like just swinging around the map, like swinging around, shooting people from the air. Like when you let go of the swing, you can activate like a new special melee, which like whips out another version of the whip and like literally whips enemies with it. So it's really cool. It makes me feel like Black Whip. And then aside from that, it's just they added some little quality of life stuff. They finally added like loadouts, so you can save loadouts now and like quickly equip them from like wherever your items are, whether they're in the vault or whatever. It'll just, you know, auto equip everything. So that's been really cool because you've always had to use like third party phone apps and stuff to do stuff like that in the past. Okay. And it's cool that they're finally addressing and trying to like trim out some of that stuff and put everything like right there in the game, so you don't really got to leave. Mm-hmm. And stuff, which I always think is good, but overall it's been fun, and it's still Destiny, but yeah, it just makes me, you know, more hyped for the next expansion, which is supposed to be the last in the saga, which I don't know what that means, but we are coming up on the 10-year lifespan that they initially said Destiny was supposed to have.
Destiny storytelling.
Yeah, for sure. So yeah, having fun with that. And then other than that, I've been playing a lot of DS and 3DS games lately. I don't know why, I've just had like a really big itch for it, and I missed a lot of those games back in the day.
You miss using your stylus. That's
I do. Okay. I honestly do. I'm not gonna lie. Did you notice on the home? Have you ever noticed on the home menu when you blow into the mic, it like flips the little logo in the background? I love stuff like that.
Yo, that the whole UI of the DS, the 3DS specifically too, is too interactive. Like it's too aware of its surroundings.
Yeah.
For how, like I told you, the game I was playing on there the other night. I still didn't look at the name. Oh, I think it's Tomodachi or something.
Oh, Tomodachi Life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I think that's the name.
I think it's that one. And they let you actually like type in the pronunciation of a name.
Yeah,
so it says it correctly, and it freaks me out because I'm like, now it's like all your ghetto friend names can be in there, and it says it correctly.
Yeah,
like ah. So
that's
3DS is like,
it feels like a console of love.
Ingenuity in there.
Yeah, it feels like they really cared. Whereas the Switch, like we don't even get we can't even get themes. You know what I'm saying? We got an extra laggy eShop that crashes and crap. But yeah, I'm not going to go into it. But I actually haven't been playing 3DS games. I've been playing mainly a DS game from my childhood that is so slept on, that I love, that they will probably never remake, but I would give so much for a remake. It's called Custom Robo Arena. And Custom Robo Arena is super, super niche. I don't even know if you know what this game is. You know what this game
is? I've heard of this game before.
So
I probably heard of it because of you.
It's way more popular in Japan than it is here. Most of the games actually don't have even English translations. Only two of them that I know of do. It's an N64 game and three of them. An N64 game, a GameCube game, and a DS game. So I've been playing the DS one. And basically what it is, it's like, it's got a perspective like Pokemon, kind of, I guess you could say. Like it's top down, it's like sprite based, and you're in this town, but there's no like random encounters or anything like that. It doesn't have a lot of those type of RPG elements, but what it is if you think of something like, I don't even know what to compare it to, like one of those old school Yu-Gi-Oh game, or think of a Pokemon game where it's just other trainers in the world. And so basically what you're doing is you're out in the world and it's got this whole little storyline and you're a custom robo battler. I forget what the term is they use for them in the game, but basically it's like little toy size robots that you basically siphon your mind into and like the whole world slows around you when you're doing this. And it's called diving, that's the term. So you put your mind in this little robot, and basically they become like Ant-Man's, right? Like they're super strong when you're controlling them and stuff. Mm-hmm. And so you got to battle in these like little virtual arenas to keep from like destroying the surrounding environments. It's actually illegal mm-hmm. to battle outside of the arena because you could like blow up the town and stuff because these robots are so powerful. But basically the gist of the game is it's usually 1v1 and it's you against an opponent and you're in this square arena and it's still kind of top down, but it like shifts to the side a little and becomes mm-hmm. like full 3D. And so you customize your robot parts. You have like a gun, a missile launcher, you have like a back attachment thing, and you have like different leg types that controls your movement. And you basically swap out these parts to basically just figure out the best combination to beat your opponent. And it's all in real time. So you're like flying around, dashing around, shooting rockets and guns and missiles at the other guy. He's doing the same thing to you. And the goal is to just obviously reduce their health to zero mm-hmm. before they reduce yours to zero. So that's kind of like the main gist of the gameplay. And I know back in the day it had like a whole multiplayer meta and stuff through like the, I don't know if you remember the Bobo DS's online with like the little adapter, and people had like would make like custom lobbies and be in forums and stuff setting up lobbies, and they had like a whole like kind of mini scene around it. But I just really
they did have that, what was it, like Metroid Hunters or something?
Yeah,
it was
yeah. Like that, I remember that
multiplayer
game
they were pushing.
The multiplayer Metroid game without Samus in it though. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I just really like this style of game. It really reminds me a lot too of like Mega Man Battle Network. Again, minus like one of the things I really like is that there's no like RNG battles. It's just like you pick and choose who to battle, and you battle the other commanders or whatever throughout the story. And it's just, I don't know, it's just got a lot of nostalgia for me and stuff. So I've been definitely really enjoying it a lot. And it's not a stylus heavy game, like, so it's more traditional. It just uses the bottom screen.
No, I love trying to hold my DS with two hands and use the stylus. It's great.
Were you a fan of all those games where you had to turn the DS sideways and hold it like a notebook?
I've never played.
You don't remember any of those? Like Brain Age and all of them?
No, I never played those types of games.
Yeah, there were a lot.
I'm not here to learn.
They doubled down on that. On the stylus input.
Even Professor Layton didn't have you doing that.
Turn it sideways, yeah. But yeah,
I was gonna say, you just reminded me. I was going back to Advance Wars.
Okay.
And I went back to the first one because usually I go back to Black Hole Rising, mm-hmm. but I went back to the first one and I totally forgot that the first Advance Wars is not even really a game.
What you mean?
It's just a bunch of like training missions and then multiplayer Link. Yeah, that's it. It's like multiplayer Link. Build your own map, and then a bunch of training missions.
There's not, like, dialogue and all that stuff? And story and all that? Wow.
It's literally just it's just Nell teaching you how to do the moves and what techniques you should use. And then, yeah, because I kept flipping, and I'm like, that's it? It's Link mode?
Yeah.
Like, create map mode and training.
That's crazy.
And I was like, okay, so they definitely had to package 1 and 2 in the reboot. Or else they wouldn't have really had any story or anything to go off of.
It's almost like 1 was a prototype and then 2 like refined everything and made it like a real game.
Maybe, yeah.
That's crazy. But yeah, I think there's also a DS Advance Wars. Like different, like separate.
The dual screen one.
Yeah. So I might check that out at one day too. But yeah, that's all I've pretty much been doing.
Nice.
Now, before you play the news tune, I'm going to just ask you, did you watch the Tears of the Kingdom gameplay yet or no?
No. Okay. Crap, I forgot. I just forgot.
We might as well just skip it then. We might as well just...
Why? Just talk about it.
I can, but it's not as cool if we're both not ranting. All right, I can
look at it right now while you're talking.
Yeah, I'll talk about it a little bit. Sure, just throw it on visually, in the background.
Yeah, I'm sure I can visually get what you're talking about.
Yeah.
You know, why don't we just watch it live together and comment on it right now?
Honestly, we can. Just kidding. Oh no, actually it would be too hard to set up the
I'm watching it silently, but go ahead.
So basically like I said, this game's not
Let out your stress, cuz you've been holding this in waiting for me to watch this and I just don't watch it cuz I don't care. And that's the problem. I don't remember cuz I don't care.
This gameplay, they did a whole gameplay demonstration mainly focusing on what I guess they think are like the killer new features of this game over the old game. But it looks like Breath of the Wild again, maybe a tad bit more polished, but I really doubt it. And essentially all they showed off like three new, I guess, powers in this trailer. It's the time rewind power, which is kind of, they talk about, that's how you get up to like the sky islands you see in the trailer. It's like sometimes some stuff will fall off the island and then you can go over to it, like hop on it and then rewind time and it'll take you back up to the top.
Oh my gosh.
So that's whatever. That's whatever. There's another power, basically, I guess, that's supposed to alleviate some of the climbing in the game. So, like, let's say you go into a cave.
Why didn't we get rid of durability? I still hate that. I forgot.
Who
I
knows?
Hated that.
And why? Whenever I say something about it online, the community rushes to defend the. No, it's better like this.
Why?
No, nobody likes this in
no
real life.
No Zelda game has ever needed durability.
No, and most games that have durability, it makes the game worse. Like, that's just most games. Like,
it just makes the game annoying.
It's annoying, like, especially how they do it in Zelda, because there's no repairing stuff. There's no, like, it just shatters at some point. And then you're like, there goes that amazing weapon I loved.
I'm like, for me, it would be like putting pit stops in Mario Kart games.
Yeah, that you were forced to stop at, though. Like, not optional ones.
And it's a mini game that you gotta play to, like, unassemble your car, reassemble it.
Like, oh my god. So that's
like, I don't
thing.
Need this level of realism.
Yeah, at all. So that's another thing. It looks like from the gameplay, the durability is still a thing. So let me not jump ahead, because the third thing I'm gonna talk about has to do kind of with the durability, too. But the second ability they showed off, let's say you like go into a cave and I don't know what it's called, but you basically activate the ability and it teleports you up like an elevator almost through the ceiling so that you'll pop up at the surface and you don't necessarily know where you're going to pop out at, obviously, because you're like in a cave or whatever.
Okay.
And so they kind of said like, oh, you don't feel like climbing, just go and find a cave and then use the ability and pop up at the top. Now you're at the top of the mountain or whatever. And so I'm like, okay. I guess that's the thing. And so the last thing, and this is the thing they really spent the most time on, it's called, I forget what it's called too, but it's basically got this whole crafting angle to it. And this is the thing that's like double and tripling down on Breath of the Wild's main thing, which is, I consider Breath of the Wild's main thing like kind of how the environment and the tools work together kind of intuitively. Like if you light the grass on fire, it creates an updraft. You whip out a leaf, you can fly on it. Stuff like that is all throughout Breath of the Wild. So they're like quadrupling down on that in this game with... I kind of just look at it as like a crafting system. So you can take any item in the game, right? Let's say it's like a stick. You find a stick and like a broken pitchfork. You can basically super glue the broken pitchfork to the top of the stick, and now you have a really, really long spear.
I see them doing that with that boulder and the stick.
Yeah, or you can, like, chop down a tree, glue it to another tree log, to, like, two other tree logs, make a raft, find a fan. They have these little, like, not a fan, but, like, you can create an updraft, like, attached to an object, glue that to the back of the boat, and now you have, like, a propelled raft. You know what I mean? So it's, like, that type of stuff. And that's kind of what they're marketing as, like, the big feature of this game. It's like, oh, you can combine a bomb chew to your arrow, and now you have bomb arrows. Or you can combine an eye to an arrow, and now it's going to track onto the first thing that it looks at. And their whole...
Is the draw of Zelda the...
sandboxness of it? No, I don't think so at all. They're trying to turn this into, like, a Minecraft, like... new generation, explore, do everything, sandbox, no objective type of game, no story. There's going to be no story in this game, probably.
Ugh.
You know what I mean?
Sounds like a very lazy, like, slice of life tunic now.
Yeah, like, they didn't address dungeons. They didn't say if there was going to be real dungeons again, which makes me think it's probably not. I'm thinking it's probably going to be shrines again. And yeah, I don't know. Nothing about this game excites me. Like, nothing at all.
Is this the same character?
Yeah, it's Link. Oh, Link has long hair now. And everybody was going crazy over that in the comments.
But that's what I mean. Like, is this the same Link that woke up in Breath of the Wild?
This is directly after Breath of the Wild.
Okay.
that's maybe a little bit of time
because we don't normally track links like that.
That close, yeah. So I don't know. I'm not hype at all for this Zelda game.
I'm trying to think. Like, there are instances where crafting is okay and it works, but I'm like, this is not where I wanted, I guess.
Yeah,
that's the problem. It's too much effort to just play the game.
Yeah. That's what it seems like. It seems like this game is targeted at the people who just want to create, not the people who want to play. Like, you know what I mean? It's like,
this feels like people who stayed in Breath of the Wild after beating it or whatever. Yeah, they just lived in the world too long and they wanted all these niche things.
More of it. Yes, I agree.
It's like, are you an expert at Breath of the Wild? Here's the expanded version.
I agree.
I don't know.
It just, two things. It makes me kind of sad that, like, what if this is creating a spinoff alternate reality where we'd never get another traditional Zelda game again? It's all just this open sandbox, build everything type of vibes. Or what I'm more hopeful of is that because Link's Awakening did really well, you remember with the cute chibi art style, maybe we'll get a split off type of Zelda that's that, but brand new with traditional dungeons, traditional items, you know, traditional puzzle solving. I wouldn't be too mad at that, even though I do really want big, you know, Wind Waker, Twilight Princess style Zeldas again. I do want that again, but if I absolutely had to, I could settle for the 2D-esque, you know, classic type Zelda of old.
I don't need Zelda to become a lifestyle game.
I don't either.
And I don't need any more lifestyle games.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I agree. So, yeah, that's my take on the new Zelda. I'm not ever in this lifetime or the next paying $70, $60, $50, or $40 for it. I probably will still play it, but I ain't paying for it. That's all I'm going to say. No. That's all I'm going to say.
Like, I'm going to just wait for something. Yeah.
But, yeah. That's kind of all I really had of note.
Has anybody you know seen the Mario movie yet?
Not yet, no.
I've had people at work message about it in our shared group area, and they're giving it positive reviews, but I don't... There's only one person I know to be super critical of video game things in our chat so far, and I don't know if he's even going to go see this movie.
I will say I have only seen positivity about it online. Like,
okay, I've seen sources. That, like, I've seen just a couple things that I, like, how I would expect to feel, where it's like the woke changes. It's like,
oh, are there woke changes? I didn't know that.
What's Princess Peach doing?
What is she doing? That?
You want to talk about how she's like a commander and she's always like putting on pants and pointing her finger at stuff.
Yeah. She's not just kidnapped by Donkey Kong or Bowser this time.
So she's gotta put her hair in a ponytail and get to business.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I don't know why. I don't think I've seen her in the trailers.
I don't know. I'm playing I'm playing Paper Mario. It's like she's perfectly fine in her role in Paper Mario.
Yeah.
Being captured. Yeah. And she's still finding a way to help Mario while being captured.
And they put humor on top of it. That's pretty entertaining.
Yeah.
Usually.
So, no, you're clearly spacing out on the commercials.
Probably, to be honest. I hear people saying they want, like, a Luigi's Mansion movie now with that version of Luigi.
Yeah, I want a Luigi's... I would go see a Luigi's Mansion movie, no question.
That could be... And they're saying, like, no, you know, kind of like Ghostbusters vibes, like, not actually scary, but more, like, goofy and stuff.
Because I never even played that game, so I won't have, like, any prejudgments.
I haven't either, to be honest, yeah. Which I need to. But, yeah, hopefully our niece, because I told you she was going to see it, and I told her to tell me.
Her opinion on...
Jesus Christ.
Just this movie. This movie.
She ain't play enough Mario.
Maybe not. I think she gave up on video games a little too early, in my opinion.
Probably, yeah. Probably.
But when you're an artist, I guess you gotta choose one or the other.
Yeah, pick one. Yeah. Yeah. Not wrong.
Alright, yeah. You ready to talk about some anime?
Yeah.
Cool.
I'm happy with anime right now. I am. I'm content, if you will. Oh, you hate Hell's Paradise?
No, not at all. It's just, I hate the beginnings of anything because you got to get through this. I'm like, get to the island, get to the island. And it looks like we're like two episodes down, we're getting to the island. I'm like, cool. Next week, I'll pay attention.
Oh my God. sorry. Where did this disdain for setup come from?
No disdain, just I've seen too much setup. I've seen too many things.
Too many intros.
I've seen too many pilots. Too many intros.
That's hilarious.
Plus, I read that one, so.
Oh, okay.
But yeah, I'm glad they got it in, because I feel like it took way longer in the manga. So I feel like they got it down in two episodes.
Yo, why is this MAPPA 2? How big is MAPPA? They can't make all of these shows.
Bro, they probably got more money and hired more people. What are you talking about?
They have to be, like, the biggest anime studio, right? Like, they have to be. They have to be. They're cranking these genres out.
Well, you say that, but there's like, we're watching maybe less than 20% of the anime that comes out each season.
Oh, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there might be like 8 animes that we don't watch that are being made by the same company.
Oh, probably, yeah. So and that's I know why they have contract and stuff.
That's what, when there's like Love Live and like Idol-ish and all that weird stuff that exists in a world that I don't exist in, I'm assuming there's companies making those too.
But that's kind of the point too. It's like, I assume the anime with the most prestige kind of rises up to the top and becomes what's mainstream. And the fact that MAPPA is making all of the mainstream anime is kind of what makes me say that.
Here's the thing though. It's like, yes, but I think the thing that you're thinking about is like, now, kind of like how Attack on Titan was being used to promote razors for shaving. Huh? The Gillette in Japan had an ad campaign.
Did they?
with ODM Aaron gear? And Mikasa. Yeah, like Mikasa was like shaving a giant dude's hilarious face.
Oh my
and
God.
Stuff.
I wish we had like, commercials like that.
When you say something is mainstream, that's basically the only thing that's happening to it versus. And now, I'm not saying that there's not more money involved, because there is, because the animation quality is higher
too,
right?
Yeah.
But I'm saying that to say that, like, yeah, something that's making, like, an idol show right now.
Yeah.
Or, like, one of those, like, Slice of Life or Boys Love, whatever. They're probably doing the same amount of work. It's just, it's not visible to us because we don't care about it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's all I'm saying. That's why the only reason I'm hesitant to say that might be the busiest. But yeah, in Shonen World, they're killing it.
But that's my thing, though, because when you say Shonen World, I know that's our world. But I think when I'm thinking mainstream, that permeates everybody's world.
Well, yes, but like
the stuff that's winning awards, you know what I'm saying? At the biggest anime awards ever, that type of stuff.
But I'm saying, like, the Hatsukune Miku stuff? Yeah. You know the girl with the blue hair and the headphones?
Yeah.
Like, that kind of stuff is way bigger than this will ever be. And that's why I keep saying... Yes.
Why doesn't it win awards or anything? Why isn't it talked about?
It's ever-present.
So is One Piece.
You know what I mean? Yeah, but, well...
One Piece wins awards.
One Piece does win awards, but One Piece is, like, a story and narrative and stuff like that. I'm saying as far as, like, existing... and making money and being produced, those things are larger. Like, there's probably more whatever her name is, Miku stuff in existence than there is. Like, this
Demon
stuff
Slayer?
Will come and go. This stuff, One Piece is like a special thing, like outlier.
Yeah.
But like, things will come and go. Naruto even kind of came and went. You know what I mean? Like, it's not in its peak. Anymore,
yeah, well,
it's my thing.
Only it's because Boruto sucks.
It's Boruto now, but that's what I'm saying. Like, Bleach isn't in its peak. It's gonna when it's back on, it'll be hype.
Yeah,
but then it'll die down again.
Yeah,
you know what I'm. That's I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel.
I'm trying to think of like what was the big isekai that everybody was screaming about, and then it's like that dies down. So it's probably the slime one.
Oh, probably yeah.
So. But many. There are other things on the other side that I've literally heard about since I was in high school, and it's still popular.
Of course, yeah.
So, But yeah, MAPPA is blowing up, and I can only assume it's because they get more money and then they hire more
talent. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm assuming they're raking it in, literally. Because
it's like, it's the same way how all the cartoons over here for a while look like Steven Universe, right?
Yeah.
It's kind of the same thing.
But was that actually the same studio?
No, but it was the same the same CalArts drawing style was being like taught to everyone.
Yeah, yeah, of course, of course.
And then it's like those people get famous, the Steven Universe CalArts people get famous, and then they hire people and train them to draw the same way.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So that I'm assuming that's what's happening in MAPPA.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And I know, don't get me wrong, I know these studios do so much contracting and they do so much outsourcing and all that. So I'm sure they're doing a lot of outsourcing to get all this stuff done. But it's just, to me, it's just crazy because in my life of watching anime, I've never seen one singular studio do this many high budget shows at the same in such a short period of time. Like, I've never seen that before.
I can see where they cut corners too, though.
Of course, yeah, of course, for sure. But everybody has to do that, right? Like,
yeah.
So it's like, it's kind of crazy.
But yeah, so what were we talking about? Why did we talk about that?
We didn't really start on this show yet. We were kind of
like,
lightly...
I was like, wait, what were we talking about?
We're kind of lightly talking about Hell's Paradise.
And then,
yeah, okay. We didn't go into
it. Do you want to start there?
Yeah, might as well.
You start.
So
I have like forward vision on it.
Yeah, that's true. So I like it so far. I like the main character. His name is, Gabimaru the Hollow. Yes. I like the whole thing about
he's a shinobi,
so you know I'm on for that part. It seems like they're going to have a different interpretation of like ninjutsu and stuff, which I'm kind of excited to see more of because I'm so used to like Naruto and like things that are inspired by Naruto. Yeah, exactly, all this type of stuff and chakra and all that type of stuff. I like the whole thing about how this dude's trained so well and intensely and severely that he literally can't be executed, and
it's so crazy.
Yeah, so like for example, the you know how they would behead people, they have the executioner with the swords and they go to behead him and he can like steelify the skin on his neck to break the sword in half when it hits his neck, or he can just straight up like endure being burnt alive and like not have any scratches or anything.
They tried to have him torn apart by oxes.
Yeah.
That didn't work.
The oxes got tired.
Like, blew out their legs. They like fell over.
Yeah. And they kind of make it seem... So they kind of make it seem like everybody from his village can do similar things, but they very much emphasize that he is like the most feared, most renowned, strongest ever to come out of this village, which I don't know why yet. That might be like the anime thing where they're like, oh, this character is way stronger than everybody else, but there's not really a reason. Like, he just happens to be stronger for whatever reason, even though he went through the same training as everybody else. But essentially the setup is this dude is, so he's a criminal because he ran away from his village, which is a crime, like punishable by death. And it's him and the shogun has gathered together a whole bunch of other like death row criminals, basically. Criminals who did really heinous stuff, and some of them are famous, some of them aren't, and they did whatever they did to get him on death row. And basically he offered them this deal to where he'll pardon them if they go to this mysterious island that is, there's a legend about the island that there's an elixir of immortality there somewhere on the island. But everybody they've sent to the island has had some crazy mysterious death happen to them, or they just straight up disappeared. Or they didn't die and they got turned into some weird living flower creature that's brain dead, but it has like this creepy smile on its face. So stuff like that makes me really interested about what's on this island. And it really makes me want the Dark Continent from Hunter x Hunter 2, because that's what the Dark Continent is supposed to be, is exactly this island. And so, yeah, that's kind of the premise in the setup is this dude, Gabimaru, he kind of finds his will to live again. He had kind of lost his will to live, but one of the other main characters, one of the executioners, tells him that his wife is alive and that she's kind of waiting for him to come back home. And the only way for him to return to her now is to go to this island, find the elixir, get pardoned for his crimes. I'm sure none of that is going to go as planned, like, whatsoever.
I'm like, he's so dumb because he's just like, he's like, why can't I die?
Yeah.
And then she's like, because you love your wife, you idiot.
And he's like,
I guess I do.
Dang, that's true, isn't it? Yeah.
It's like, what? And no, him running away from the village has something to do with his wife being the chief's daughter. I just forget what. There's something wrong with her also.
Yeah, well,
she's got like a blemish or something on her face.
That was inflicted upon her by her father.
I'm assuming, yeah.
No, they say it in the first episode.
Okay, but then like he is. Like, she takes care of him, and that's why he likes her.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
So, yeah, he's in love with her, and that's kind of his goal now. And I really love, like, aloof protagonists. I don't know why. But I like overpowered aloof protagonists that can just beat you up.
Don't you be Bam. I can't handle if they're Bam.
Not Bam. Bam is like a sad, sorry for himself type of aloof. He's
piece of white bread, man.
Yeah, not that
piece of white bread yearning for the cheddar that is Rachel.
Yeah, that's not what I love. That's not what this dude actually feels like. He has some,
yeah,
some. He kind of reminds me of Luffy a little bit, just less of an idiot and less good, more willing to murder. but yeah, so that's kind of the setup. And I enjoy it so far. How did you feel about it so far? Just the first two episodes.
I think they're doing a pretty good job of being loyal to the source material.
That's good.
That's kind of all I'm ever worried about in the beginning. Because I'm just like, why would you care to make something if like it wasn't interesting in the first place?
Yeah.
I have to say, the beheadings are getting to me.
They're intense. They're so swift.
Yeah, but it's like seeing a head just like,
yeah,
onto the ground, and then the blood comes out later. It's starting to like make my stomach feel weird.
It's a lot.
But like, yeah, they're very what's the word I'm looking for? They approach it very professionally. The Asamon, I think that's how you pronounce it. The Asamon family is kind of like our not protags, but they are the force of executioners.
Yeah, they're executioners. Yeah.
Yeah, like, I don't want to say the force of good, but, like, they have a duty to perform the execution swiftly and not make it painful or gross or whatever. So they're all kind of obsessed with that.
Oh, on that point, they make a really, really almost kind of a long segment at the beginning of the first episode about how normally it's very hard to cut a head off with one swing, which I think is pretty true in real life because I've heard that before. Mm-hmm. And so that's why this family specifically is like trained to do it just one shot clean.
Cause they show some dudes like he wants some storyteller they said was being executed, and they said he wanted to tell a story while being executed.
Yeah, which
and
is
it was
crazy.
Like they cut his head off, and he like bowed after his head was cut off. Yeah. So weird.
It was odd. Also, I don't know if you've ever heard this, but ever since I heard this a long time ago about medieval executions with the guillotine, is that scientifically they say that your head is still conscious after it cuts when it's cut off quickly
for
like that.
A few seconds, because it takes a minute for the blood to drain from your.
So literally, all I think about with stuff like this in this show specifically is every time someone's head cut off, I only think about that split second of consciousness that's still there when the head's laying on the ground and they're just.
I think of
head on the ground.
I think of Men in Black, where they were like, the last thing you see, it's superimposed on your retina.
Yeah.
And they hook that dude's head up to the projector and like turn it upside down. Yeah. That's what I think of.
Jeez.
That's weirdly enough.
It's so rough. Like,
I was like, who's going to hook my head up to projector to see what I saw?
Oh, yeah.
No.
Right before I die.
I'm hoping that this is going to go somewhere we haven't seen before. We know we have the setup of the elixir. We don't know if the elixir actually exists. We know that 60 people have gone missing when they sent them, and pretty much every ship they've sent before, people don't come back. And they set it off because they were like, what, like maybe 50 plus prisoners there. And they were like, oh, we can only take
only 10 of y'all number. Can go.
So because we only have that many guards for each of you, so you gotta narrow it down. And then it's like,
that's all he said though.
As soon as they say that, one dude in the back just like swat some dude with a rock, and then everybody's like, whoa. And then he's like, do they look mad? He's like, are they stopping me?
Yeah.
He's like, get to business. So like everybody just starts smashing each other with rocks. It's crazy.
It's nuts. That part was intense too, I'm not gonna lie.
So then that happens, and then it becomes very anime at the end, where we get the pan scene of each character with their title.
Yeah.
That's each prisoner that's going on the boat, and it's like Gabimaru the Hollow and Kunoichi. Seductress, and so and so the Giant, and blah 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 the Sword Eater, and so we got that moment at the end.
Do you ever do the thing? I find myself doing this all the time. Like when they first got into that little arena. I was automatically looking. I'm like, all right, who's the main characters? Who are the characters that are drawn weirdly? I like automatically start looking for the weird it's drawn characters.
Who has too much design?
Who has colorful hair? I'm like, okay, she's gonna live. He's gonna live. He's missing an eye. He's mad and big. He's gonna live.
It's funny you say that because they literally do that. Because the Shogun like whispers to the guard next to him, and he's like, "So who are the standouts?" And then they literally like start
whips out his book.
They literally list off stats. Like, I'm like, these people are criminals, not athletes. This is crazy.
That was so funny.
They were like, that guy took out 100 dudes in the hole. It's a whole dude.
So yeah. He's the youngest bandit king ever on the East Coast, and he's taking over so many in Kent. I'm like, yeah.
But yeah, so next week, things should get interesting.
Get to that island.
More interesting. Yeah. The only other thing I want to add before we go to Demon Slayers, I started watching some Ancient Magus Bride. I was telling Tiz about this only because season 2 is starting this season, and I kind of wanted to see what all the hubbub was about. I'm only about 4 episodes in, but like so far that's another show where like the animation does really draw you in.
I heard it was really good.
I'm actually I've been more surprised than not. But, like, I do see where it could get a little slow for me because there are, even though there's mystery and magic, there are slice of life aspects.
Yeah.
But I do find there's, like, this one part, they were in this, like, village, and there were, like the cats could talk for some reason. And so there was, like, this one cat, and she's like, yeah, that's my human, and blah, blah, blah.
That's my human.
And they were, like, explaining, because one thing they explain, I think, in the first or second episode is that magic, or I don't know if it's particularly magic, but it's like they're in this world, there are mages and alchemists. And so they explain that like the alchemists kind of have to do the trade-off thing with like chemistry and blah, blah, blah. Whereas
equivalent
like
mages
literally just make magic
out of
happen.
Nothing. Yeah.
And so when they get to the cat village, for some reason, the cats are like, fuck alchemists. And they were like, we love mages. And I'm like, part of me is like, I want to see what that's about.
Is there a beef?
It's like
a secret beef between mages and alchemists.
Yeah, I'm like, what? Why are they so dirty on the alchemists? Oh, yeah. What's up with that? So yeah,
probably had to murder some cats to make some dirt or something, to make some buildings or something.
I will see. I will give more information as I move forward. I'm not 100% sure how many episodes there are.
Okay.
Prior to the second season,
I think the first season was like 24.
Okay.
I think it was that pretty long. Sense.
And yeah, Demon Slayer.
Yeah,
unless
yeah.
You had something else you wanted to add.
Nah, you can go to Demon Slayer. All
right, I watched it right before the podcast. I see what you mean now when you said they were doing like a anime or like an animation extravaganza.
The camera's like,
yo, I was
swooping
barf.
Through the motion,
I was
right?
Barf in the demon place. I'm like, can y'all
upside
like?
Down.
I was like, how does anybody function in here? It's like, how do you know where the steps are going?
What's up and what's down?
Yeah. How do you talk to somebody when they're like MC Escher'd all the way here in the back?
You just yell at the Biwa chick. She just, boing, and then you just teleport over there.
I I thought, I was like, who is this chick that's just sitting here? Like, is she the receptionist for this messed up office?
Yeah. She's like Muzan's assistant.
So, where do we start here? It picks up right after the entertainment district arc.
Muzan calling in his demon meeting. Yeah.
Well, no, take that back. Yeah, demon meeting first, and then in the rubble.
Yeah.
But demon meeting is very elaborate, as Tiz mentioned, with the camera swoops.
Yeah. And I just want to say I love that they just straight up introduced us to the entire upper Kizuki. Just all of them.
Finally.
Here's all
finally,
of them. Boom, boom, boom,
finally,
boom, 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 boom. Yep.
I need to know what I'm afraid of, because you guys can't keep talking about the uppers, and then I never know what you're talking about.
And that design on number one.
Yeah, that's spooky.
Fire. Fire. That is great design. Like, great design.
That he's very clearly the person they keep flashing back to, right? With the Hashira earrings.
Either that, or I think he's related to him. I think the dude they're flashing.
He's got the same damn ponytail. Like, we've not seen anyone else in this show that has that red hair and ponytail like that.
I know.
And I'm like, did he get that guy and turn him
into a demon? Yeah, that could be a thing. And he would be OP, probably, if that's the case. But yeah, I think he's definitely, there's something going on. He either is him or he's related to him. I think it's like one of the two.
That's because I'm like, we keep seeing the silhouette of this guy. And I'm like, I'm becoming really familiar with that silhouette.
Well, we straight up saw him this episode. He was talking to, I presume that was Tanjiro's dad, who looked just like Tanjiro when he was younger.
I was so confused for a second.
Like, the ponytail. It was the ponytail.
After the demon thing, when they switched to that, I was like, wait. Did we, like, zip 15 years into the future? What's happening?
I thought it was a vision at first. I thought it was just, like, a vision.
And then, like, I was like, that looks like his mom. And then, but yeah, I kept being like, but there's no birthmark. There's no burn or scar.
Yeah. When I saw the baby Tanjiro, I was like, oh, okay. Yeah, yeah. That was crazy.
But I'm like, how do we know that baby Tanjiro's baby isn't going to look exactly like that?
He probably would, yeah. He probably would, to be honest.
But yeah, so first we start out with the demons basically are freaking out because it's been 113 years since an upper level demon has been killed.
Which doesn't seem that long in demon years to me. To me, it doesn't. Doesn't seem like it would be that big a deal.
Well, no, that's what I was like. I feel like I feel like it should have been longer to be as scary as.
Because they're all immortal.
Yeah, but we get more context of, like, from the master of the Hashira and kind of, like, how long, like, what this fight, the desperation of this fight has been, because he's, like, he's kind of, like, we'll finally beat you this generation.
Muzan, yeah.
Like, rewinding back to the demons, with that one dude, I know that Muzan is more powerful than all of them.
Yeah.
But, like, the way he talks to them, I was like, you're hyper disrespectful.
That's why I love him, because they do a great job of portraying how strong Muzan is. Because when he talks, all the other demons are like, except
really
for number one.
Dude.
Yeah, number one.
No, I was going to say number two.
Oh, number two. Yeah.
So goofy.
He is. Who does he remind me of? He reminds me of an anime trope for sure, but like,
I was gonna say Hisoka.
Yeah, Hisoka. No, low key, Hisoka. There's a Naruto character that acts just like that too. I can't think of him right now, but he's like that. He's like a villain, but he's super goofy and carefree. Oh, Tobi. He acts like Tobi before we find out he's Obito.
Oh yes.
Yeah,
yes,
he acts just like Tobi.
Yeah.
But I
do like that number. there seems to be some issues with the rankings amongst the demons. Yeah. What was his name? Azaka?
Akaza. That's my boy. Akaza. I love Akaza. Yeah. Even though he killed my other boy. That's my boy still.
But I'm like, you can't be bitch running from the sun and then be trying to like up jump the ranks. You know what I'm saying?
I mean,
like he bitch.
Even Muzan runs from the sun though.
No, but I know, but like the way we saw him run from that fight.
Yeah, but
you can't come home and be like.
I think demons don't have, what's the word? I'm not chivalry. You know what I'm trying to say? They don't have
honor?
Yeah, they don't
pride.
I don't think they have pride, but I don't think they have human honor.
Well, that's not that's not honor to me. Like, that's like you're talking smack and then like on the back end you can't back it up.
Well, no, like if it's nighttime, I think Akaza will 1v1 anybody or 1v2 anybody. I don't think Akaza will be like, yo, homies, come help me jump this demon slayer.
He was edging in the woods before the sun came up. That's all I'm saying. Rengoku, let's go. That's all I'm saying.
But yeah,
he was afraid of Rengoku's inner son.
Well, I don't think he was at all.
Shut up!
He was tossing. He was letting Rengoku cut his arms off like it was nothing.
Bro, Rengoku had to go through a whole fight before he got to that fight.
He did.
I'm not going there.
I feel bad for Rengoku. I do.
You should.
I do.
He got dirty.
He did. And I'm mad at Tanjiro for not being strong enough to help him. I'm still mad at him for that.
Don't be mad. They're baby. You don't take a baby out with the commander and expect him to level up. That's not how that works. We're reminded again this episode that Uzui was going to take those little butterfly girls. How would that have worked out?
Oh, yeah. They would have just been dead. They
would have been splatted.
They would have just been dead. But after all these years, why are we still sending one Hashira out at it? Why aren't there paired Hashiras? They keep dying.
Do you think that they're doing, like, they're always doing other,
probably,
either recovering or doing other fighting investigations? Other demons.
Probably, yeah. Because
there's not that many of them?
Probably, yeah. It just seems so, like, counterproductive to, like, be like, hey, Rengoku, go on this train by yourself. Yeah, we know it's a lower demon, but who knows, maybe an upper one might show up. Just to be safe, let's send a second Hashira. Like, you know.
I don't disagree there.
It's kind of weird. But, yeah.
Demons meet. I'm trying to think if there's anything significant, really, that happens from that. More just, we get to see how their interaction is.
How they feel about each other.
How aggressive it is. Number three threatens number one.
Yeah. And number two, constantly.
And number two.
Yeah. He actually punches number two's jaw off of his face.
Oh, no. He swipes the top of his head off. Remember?
Yeah.
He swipes his eyes and his forehead. And
he does,
like,
it twice.
Part of his body.
He does it twice.
It's very disrespectful.
So rude. And the other thing I think of note from that part is Muzan. So we know that Muzan sends, what is it, five and six, the jar one, the jar Dejin-looking demon, and the big forehead pimple demon. He sends them off. I'm presuming they're going to be the two antagonists. Because he's like, hey, go to, I forget where he sent them, but he was like, you guys go.
Yeah.
That's probably who Tanjiro is going to be fighting. It's them two at some point.
Weirdos.
Yeah.
And then, so we move on from there.
Recovery.
And then we go into basically how everybody recovers from the fight. And we get to learn about a little bit about the demon, like, fighting group association.
Yeah. Demon Slayer Association.
The core.
Demon Slayer core. Yeah, the Demon Slayer
core. Yeah, so we learn about what are those things called? I didn't write it down. The Hakishi? The
Haksha.
People that help.
Haksha, right? Haksha?
Something like
Am
that.
Am I making that up?
I'm not sure.
Haksha sounds
only
familiar.
You know if you're making that up.
Haksha sounds
but familiar. We learn about the robed people that help the demon core, and Tanjiro gets a letter from his swordsmith after he wakes up, because he asks, he's like, did they fix my sword, it was chipped, and he gets a letter from his swordsmith basically cursing him to hell.
How dare you again.
He's like, how dare you did it. He's like, you're scum. You're the worst.
Garbage.
And so that's when Tanjiro kind of decides, because they were like, why don't you just go talk to him in person? And, like, you know, because he was like, I snapped it in half last time. He's like, this was better. Like, I didn't break it as bad.
Yeah.
And so they're like, why don't you go talk to him in person? Like, it's a village of blacksmiths. You can just go talk to him. But we learn that the blacksmith village is super hidden and super secretive.
Makes sense.
And there's a super, convoluted way to get there, and you have to ride on the back of one of the Hakishi.
With all your senses blinded.
Yeah, and apparently Tanjiro's nose plugged.
Yeah, he can smell too good.
But yeah, Inosuke and Zenitsu are out on missions, because they recovered.
No, Inosuke's here.
Faster. Oh, he came back. That's right, he came back. He was standing, he was on the ceiling like a weirdo.
I love Inosuke now these days. He was like, oh, what did he say? He was like, I was just testing to see if you could see me. Or he was like, good job, you noticed me. Something like that. And then Tanjiro was like, well.
They were like, he's gone. And they were like, Tanjiro's like, so he's not on the ceiling right now?
Yeah. Then Inosuke's like, congratulations. He's like, Tanjiro's like, oh, well, I am laying on my back and facing the ceiling.
I personally love that when they flash to Zenitsu, he's just screaming to go home, and he's like, where is Tanjiro? Where is Inosuke? I want to go home.
Yeah. And the fact that he woke up a week after the fight.
And he talked to the voiceover.
Yeah, yeah.
He's like, you're remembering me. Please help.
Thank you. Yeah, save me.
So stupid.
I think I can flat say that Demon Slayer has my favorite lighthearted moments of all.
Oh, they shonen. Totally, like, they weirdly balance comedy.
They do it so well. Darkness. And this,
it's the same. Oh, God.
The specific thing they do with the ditto eyes, with the zoom out, they do that so perfectly. So perfectly.
Yeah. So I was going to say, it's very reminiscent of Golden Kamuy for me.
Mm-hmm.
They also geek in those, like, tiny moments of
humor
comedy,
moments
where you're
yeah.
like that weirdo.
Well,
like, these people are weirdos.
Yeah, they are.
So they trot him through crows and hashiki, whatever they're called. Yeah. They trot them to the him and his sister, Tanjiro and Nezuko, to the village. It's a pretty cool looking village. It's relatively small. It's like one street. It's like really nice buildings around it. And then he like immediately, I guess, goes to like, I guess it's kind of like the blacksmith council,
the chief,
and they
kind of
explain to him that the person he's looking for is missing.
He gets mad and storms off often. That's basically
because I'm like, we get I think they said he
has
yelled
a temper
at one of them
yeah.
or something like that.
He has a temper,
and they're like, we're gonna find him and basically like reprimand him and make him make you a sword.
Yeah.
And if we don't find him, we'll find someone else to make you a sword.
And he said it was his fault because he made a faulty sword in the first place.
Yeah, they were like, it's his fault. It got all dark. And I was like, ooh, blacksmith land.
Yeah.
But I just have to say, like, this part of the episode was even refreshing for me. Because the number of times they just tell Tanjiro to go to the hot spring. They're like, just go to the hot spring. He's like, I smell a hot spring. Yeah. And they're like, we're renowned for our hot spring. And I'm like, just go to the damn hot spring.
Just go chill.
So Tanjiro goes to the hot spring. And that's where we meet.
Love Hashira.
The love Hashira. Miss Kujimoji? I didn't catch
Mitsuru.
Names very well this time.
Mitsuru?
He kept calling her Miss something.
Yeah.
But yes, we're all things are correct here. And so we get to meet the love Hashira, and I have to say, I find her adorable.
I love her positivity.
I love that she literally became a Hashira to date a strong dude.
And that she trained to become a Hashira to do that.
I'm super impressed by
that.
Yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
yeah, I love that.
Because she was just like, gotta find some. I want to be with a dude who's
stronger than me.
And she's like, so the only way I could do that was to become a Hashira. And I was like, what?
I'm like, yeah, that's nuts.
The dedication.
Yeah, that's
yeah. I
nuts.
Thought it was just gonna be like she had some kind of like insane strength or something like that.
I'm glad it's not like revenge or a demon killed my something. Or I'm glad it's not that. Like
she's like pure light. In a place of darkness.
She definitely is.
And yeah, I love that, like, listening to Tanjiro, it's like all the girls are just falling in love with Tanjiro, and he's just so oblivious to
it.
He just doesn't even notice.
Tanjiro!
He's just like, I'm gonna kill Muzan. And they're like,
And I don't know if you feel this way too, but I find a lot of similarities in Tanjiro and Deku. But whereas absolutely. I think Tanjiro is like an alternate universe Deku that's
alternate universe.
Like Deku's crybabiness annoys me a lot.
Yes.
Whereas Tanjiro
Deku cries a little too much.
Yeah.
I don't think Tanjiro doesn't cry as much as Deku, but Tanjiro feels as much as Deku.
Yeah, yeah. Tanjiro has he has like an aura about him that I really love.
He's just a good dude. He's like, he's super empathetic.
Yeah.
And he's not like, he's obviously just believes in like doing the right thing. Like he's not going to kill his sister, you know, like type thing. And he's going to try. He believes, like he's almost on the edge of like if we can, because no, they have hinted at this. He's like on the edge of like, if we can rehabilitate these demons, that's how I would prefer to handle it.
Yeah.
So.
But he's not afraid to straight up decapitate.
No.
that's what I appreciate. Like, he's not afraid to do that. He's not. He doesn't have that whole goody two shoes thing that a lot.
But see, I think that's the old world sense, because this is like the old world. It's like you live or you die if you don't make that decision. Whereas Deku might not necessarily, you know, somebody die. Might be there to swoop in and grab him.
Deku, I don't feel like has ever been close to death, whereas Tanjiro has been close to death often, like a lot. Deku's never actually almost died.
I feel like, no, Deku hasn't been beaten to a pulp necessarily, but I do feel like. If you go back and watch that scene where Shigaraki finds him in the mall.
Oh, yeah. You'll feel that. Again. Yeah.
You'll feel that again.
Yeah, for sure. I remember that, yeah.
That was scary.
That was scary, yeah. That was scary. One finger.
Deku Slay.
That was funny. And then I think another thing of note, one of the other things of note is that, what's her name? Love Hashira. I'm just going to call her Love Hashira.
Yeah, that's fine.
She just tells Deku.
Until I learned the name.
Yeah, she just tells Deku, hey, there's a secret weapon hidden in the village that'll make you stronger. Yes. Go find it.
And he's just I thought this was like such a MacGuffin and so random. I was like, why would you do this?
Yeah.
And troll. I was like, why don't many people know about this? This is so sus. I don't trust any of this.
It's weird. And I know it's going to be something odd, or just going on the journey to find it is what's actually going to make him stronger or something like that. But it seems like towards the end of the episode, we meet the Mist Hashira. And they don't say it, I don't think, but it seems like he's looking for the exact same thing. Yeah. And that's probably what they're going to address, I think, at the beginning of the next episode.
Okay.
That's what it seems like, at least.
One second. Someone is at my door.
Oh, yeah, no problem. I'm going to just keep talking while she goes to get the door. But I also really like the design of the Mist Hashira. I think I don't know why, but I like the nonchalant kind of deadpan characters, like the prodigy characters. Like, he reminds me of the, I think his name's Hitsugaya from Bleach, the white-haired captain. Although I hope he doesn't get kind of beat up as much as Hitsugaya does. Because they call Hitsugaya like the prodigy all the time. Like, they lay it on that he's a prodigy, but he gets beat up all the time. And I think we're almost back in business, so I'm not even gonna cut. I was able to talk that whole time, so I don't gotta edit it out.
Sorry about that.
No, it's all good.
But yeah,
I was talking about the Mist Hashira and how I like like nonchalant prodigy characters.
Who was the guy in the hot tub?
That was, I don't know his name, but he was from the very first episode. The Mohawk dude who was like just screaming. He just had a bad attitude the entire like Demon Slayer entrance exams. He just had a really bad attitude.
Oh, he was from all the way back there.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I thought he was from like the Hashira village.
No.
I was so confused.
Yeah, he was a recruit at the same time as Tanjiro.
Okay.
And I think he might actually be the Wind Hashira's brother.
That's what, yeah, because he kept saying he looked like someone.
The other mean-looking dude with the same
and that,
face.
I think that's why I got confused.
They're this show's Bakugo. Both of them together.
Both of them.
Yeah, they're both a version of Bakugo.
Oh, I thought Inosuke was the show's Bakugo.
Inosuke's too happy to be Bakugo. He's way too happy.
He yells a lot too, though.
He does, but he's...
His reaction to others is almost... always anger.
Yeah. But is it
he loves himself.
Exactly. Yeah.
When he talks about himself, he like sells it.
And I
but
think
like
he likes
normally
fun too.
He's yelling at people.
He is yelling at people a lot. But it feels like he likes fun too.
Yeah. He like, does.
Whereas Bakugo is just like die. Like, you know what I mean? Like, everybody die. Like,
we haven't seen Bakugo be casual yet.
No, we haven't. Or laugh or smile. I can't think of a
he
time when Bakugo
he
laughed.
Smiled as a kid. He just had the evil eyebrows when he did it. Because he was fucking with Deku.
Yeah. So rude.
Oh. You don't need to see Bakugo smile. Just look at his mom. It's the same person.
It is the same exact person. Same exact person.
Oh my gosh. So... all I'll say now is I briefly watched some spring anime. I watched one I am impressed with, one I am questioning. The one I'm impressed with, I think, is called My Home Hero or My Hometown Hero, something like that. And the one I'm questioning is Mashle. Mashle's being pushed. I'm gonna give that more of a chance.
Dude, just punching mages and wizards with his fist.
The only reason I am bringing that up is because we are going to give more, I think, description of all these things next week. There's still like some shows that are coming out, so I don't think it's fair to start talking about the spring season when we haven't really got an episode one of everything yet.
Yeah. And next week I'll probably give a quick review of To Your Eternity season 2.
Okay, you finished that?
Yeah.
Maybe I'll catch up with you then.
It's pretty
solid.
I'll
catch up by then.
Yeah, I think it's worth it.
Because I like it. I just was kind of like waiting to see if anyone wanted to watch it with me.
Go in open minded because it's not.
I'm not mad at that show. Okay. I don't get mad at that show. Yeah. I like that show. Is kind of like Main Abyss where I'm just like, well, you're just gonna take me where you're gonna take me because I have no. Like, I don't even have any suggestions for what I think should be happening.
Just know it's different from season one. It's a different tale, I guess you could say.
Yeah. So I won't. I don't judge it in that way.
Yeah.
Too much. Sure. But yeah. So when we come back, and we'll save Mandalorian for when we come back too, because I think more stuff will have happened by then.
Yeah.
That way we can kind of definitively answer who the Mandalorian. Maybe by next
definitively answer. Like, it's not Mando.
Yeah, no, I'm just kidding.
It's Grogu. Hold on. I think I'm on to something.
He's being trained.
It's been Grogu the whole time. That's crazy. Grogu the whole time. Wow. I can't believe I just realized that.
I can't wait
till
he gets his helmet with the ears sticking out. It's going to be so great. Bro, it's going to be so great. Then you're gonna have to get the helmet attachment for the one you have. You have to put it on top.
Wait, what one do I have?
Or the one that's at your house, I should say, not the one that you have.
Do I have a helmet?
No. What the Grogu about? That I held in your house.
Oh, yeah.
You're gonna have to buy the helmet
to put. I get what you're saying. Yeah. The helmet attachment. Yeah, the helmet attachment. Definitely need that.
No, let's be real. It's gonna have to go on like this. It's not gonna be able to go on over his head.
I would be kind of sad if they cover his face for the rest of the show. I'm not going to lie.
Nah.
He's got to be an in-betweener like Bo-Katan. He's got to be a two-world liver. A dual-world
Do you think that the Watch Mandalorians will ever, like, take their helmets off?
I doubt
under
it.
Under a new regime?
I feel like they're... Well, maybe at, like, the very, very end. But I feel like it I don't know. It would feel weird to me, I think. They would feel like sellouts.
I feel like that's what unifies them because we don't know that they're all human.
Exactly.
They could be different species and stuff.
100%, yeah.
So, yeah, I agree with you.
And I don't want to find out that Pod Vizsla is one of them barnacle face aliens. I don't want to find that out. That would ruin it for me.
He's one of those.
Yeah, I don't want to find that out. Because he's one of the cooler ones.
But, all right, y'all. If we miss something... You know it's your fault. It's your fault. Because you didn't email us at siblingrivalryclash@gmail.com and you didn't tweet at us at srclash_pod.
It's true.
And you didn't correct us. So it's your fault.
It's true.
I can sleep now.
It's true.
Not my problem.
I will sleep.
I will sleep regardless. Yeah. If it's my fault or not. So yeah, y'all, you know where to find us. We'll be watching anime, playing video games. I will be hopefully getting somewhere near the end of RE4 or not. I don't care. It can go forever. It can be a 1,000,000-hour game. I don't care. I'll keep playing it. I'll just be in there, like, Leon will just be making coffee. I'll be brushing his teeth, making his bed, shoot a zombie, vacuum.
His teeth.
I'll just be in there forever. And then I think... I'm scouting out this new game called Dredge. Came out on Switch.
Sounds familiar.
Kinda. It's sold to me as like a treasure fishing, treasure hunting boating game
yeah.
that may or may not include Cthulhu.
Oh, Cthulhu? Oh my god.
So, I will guess I'll be finding out what's going on in that dark seaside town.
Random question, kind of unrelated. Mm-hmm. Have you ever heard of kaiju fishing? Super kaiju fishing? Something like that?
Is no, it also a Switch is it game? Anywhere like that? Is it anything like that other super fishing game?
I don't know what the other super fishing game is like.
The one that was on iPhone that everyone played?
The Magikarp one?
No, never mind.
Oh. But no, I think you basically just go around. It's like Monster Hunter, but it's fishing, and you're fishing giant kaiju monsters.
Oh.
But
no.
I don't know. When I first saw it, it just made me think of you. That's the only reason I'm saying it.
I have to look that up.
Yeah, yeah. Just look up kaiju fishing, and it'll probably come up.
Okay. But yeah, that's probably what I'll be doing. What about you?
I'm going to just be diving ever deeper into my 3DS catalog and my DS, and my retro game catalog. Just nostalgia fishing. That's what I'm doing. I'm nostalgia fishing. Just putting that term on it. Nostalgia wow. fishing. Yeah.
Can we spell that? Can we spell it like FYSH? You what? Know how like when you're not talking about... Well, no. Because we know what type of yeah. fishing that is. So yeah, I was yeah. like, we got to come up with another way to spell it.
Yeah,
for when you're digging for video games.
I'm nostalgia fishing. Yeah, we can throw a Y in there.
F I Y F Y I.
They threw a Y in my name, so why not throw a Y in other stuff too?
Okay, but your name needed a Y, or you'd just be Tuller.
I've seen it spelled with an I. I'm serious.
Oh no, I'm saying that, but they didn't throw that in there. That's normally how that's
spelled. Yeah, for sure. But whoever was the first person, I'm assuming it was spelled with an I, and then someone was like, "No, I'm changing this."
I was like, we got to throw a vowel between these two consonants, so we're going to have problems.
Tiller.
But all right, y'all. You know where to find us. Hit us up on our socials. And we'll see you next week. Bye.
Peace.